Welcome to your new life and our new times, in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
Today we have a really special guest, Patricia Kaminsky. Hi, Patricia.
Hello, Allison.
She's with the American Flower Essence Society. Yes, we have one. It's not just Dr. Botch, which more people are familiar with, the tall, thin, yellow labels with the brown bottles that you see, and frequently the most common one is Rescue Remedy. Flower essences. Also, Dr. Botch is the originator, and Patricia will be talking about that in a little bit. And we have this whole other line in America. There's smaller purple labels, and it's the American Flower Essence Society, or FES is on the label. And it's all of our American flowers, and then there's a line of the Botch flowers, too, that the American FES Flower Essence Society puts out. And I'm a practitioner listed with the Flower Essence Society on their website, and I've been using them myself personally for about 15 years, and I've been using them in my practice with my clients for about 10, and the magical little gifts. I talk about them on my video on YouTube as well. They're one of my favorite tools to use in the toolbox of vibrational medicine. So Patricia has a very interesting background. She founded a women's studies department, and from there went into, if I am not mistaken, went into working with children and came across the flower essences when she was trying to help someone with dyslexia, a student with dyslexia, and then that led into a whole new path. Yet she's always had an interest in plants. So, Patricia, why don't you come on in and do yourself justice if you want to talk about how you got connected to the flower essences.
Sure, Allison, I'd be happy to. My work always involved working with the land and plants. I grew up on a 1,000-acre farm in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. But then also my work was very much devoted to healing and community organizing. And yeah. It really was there that I became very aware of the fact that we needed to really extend the range of healing options.
Yeah.
And I worked also in a juvenile delinquent center, and these were kids in gangs that would have had to go to jail but instead went into our program. And it was there also that I was able, not officially, but for the really severe cases of kids that would otherwise go to jail, I began to use the remedies. And at the same time, I also was a tutor. And so I also saw kids with learning disabilities really needing also emotional help. And that was the way that I became involved in this work. That I then met my husband and partner, Richard Katz. We've been together about 35 years, and we formed the Flower Essence Society in order to start to do research on the American flowers. And I do want to also say our work is not a replacement of Dr. Botch. It's an amplification.
Right. Right, absolutely, so, Claire.
Yeah.
And so do you want to talk about that? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to tell you a little bit about Dr. Botch. Now, his name is, there's a batch of people that say Botch, and then there are others that say Botch. So they're both correct.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth throughout the years.
Yeah, he actually was of German ancestry, but lived in England. And so the English pronunciation is Botch, but the true German ancestry is Botch, so either one is correct. Anyway, Dr. Botch was an interesting individual. He was born in 1886. And he was from a wealthy family, but he always had a sensitivity. You know, he wanted either to be a priest or a doctor, a minister or a doctor. He ended up going to medical school, but he was always asking deeper questions about what healing was. And he was in charge in World War I of 400 war beds at the University College Hospital in London. And it was there that he saw, and even the name was not even appropriated at that time, but he saw what we now call shell shock or post-trauma stress syndrome. He saw that there was an emotional and mental component to soldiers being able to recover from the ghastly experiences of war. And he then went on to develop seven nozotes. He became very interested in immunology and also bacteriology. And from that, he continued to refine certain medicines. But it was in that quest that he first went into homeopathy and became quite well known in homeopathy. He had a practice on Harley Street, which is the prestigious area of London. He was published. But he still was restless. And it was in that restlessness that he returned to Wales, to the villages of Wales, worked for poor people, often pro bono, no money, had given away everything he owned. And it was in that freedom of his soul. And this was in the Great Depression.
Right.
So, you know, that was really a lot of courage on his part. But he continued to, as it were, walk the pages of the Book of Nature with his feet and continued to find these flower remedies. By the time that he died, he had found 38 of them, and those are called the Bach flower remedies. And they're absolutely essential to any therapeutic practice in flower essence therapy, and we've just, you know, we've added to it over the years. But his work was really by word of mouth. In the 1930s, he died in 1936. And
Patricia, excuse me, just one moment, please. If I can ask you to clarify, because this has been an important point that I've been wanting to be able to explain to my clients as well. There's I would say I'm missing something there. From what I understood, he went from homeopathics, which aren't just flowers, to the actual flowers, because there is a sense of his understanding of what emotions do behind physical ailments, and that he had had a sense from the patterns he saw in his patients that there were patterns in personalities or emotional reactivity or emotional predispositions and mental predispositions that led to kind of patterned physical ailments eventually if they weren't treated. And so he saw through his patients as a doctor these patterns emerging in physical illnesses and symptoms that would become an illness if not treated. So how did he step from homeopathics into going into the field and understanding that flowers vibrationally had components to healing with the emotions?
Well, there I think you almost ask a spiritual question, Allison, because we know what happened. But I think one has to imagine that there were, as it were, inspirational forces moving through him.
Yeah.
But we also know that throughout all human cultures, flowers have always been the language of the soul. You know, we use them for births, for weddings, for death. I mean, whenever there's a language that's beyond what human words can express, marriage, love, flowers are there. So certainly we have a very wide cultural antecedent. But it was really out of a sort of modern psychology of being able not to just say in general that flowers heal, but to really pinpoint in a very astoundingly particular way that a certain flower would work on a particular mental and emotional component in the human being. And certainly his training in homeopathy, because homeopathy had first opened up that wide field, and homeopathy will work with vibrational radiances of any kind of substance, from a stone to a root to whatever. But Dr. Bach was clear, having been a homeopath, that he wanted something even more refined that would work very directly into what we could call the human soul, or the repository of emotions and feelings and mental states that people have. And for that, he developed a very subtle technique of making these flower essences right in nature. He found the elemental embrace for each flower very specifically, and he was able then to work at this so-called higher level or more specific and exact level right into the human soul, but in a very safe way. Very different than homeopathy, also different than psychiatric drugs.
Absolutely. Okay. That's a brilliant place to stop, Patricia, and a really great explanation. Thank you. We're going to take a break and then come on back. I know that I have on a daily basis conversations with clients and colleagues and friends and family members about the nature of Western medicine and the limitations of Western medicine. And I know that in my dissertation that's turned into three different books, which there will be information soon on my website about how to get them. One of the things that I explore in depth is our medical system. It's actually becoming one of the three books as I divide up my 800-page dissertation. The World Health Organization and Harvard University did a global-wide study of the global burden of disease and also in the effectiveness of each medical system. And ours in America was found to be really strong in trauma, but really, really low in industrialized nations for effectiveness with chronic issues. I know that client after client has come to me with frustration from the Western medical system that they were just put on medication or that it was just suggested something would get cut out or treated at a very topical or symptomatic or physical level. True healing just is not necessarily something that our doctors are getting trained with in school. One of my closest friends from college is a practicing MD up in Massachusetts. And it's a very different situation that they're geared towards. It's to treat at a more factory level, or what do I want to say, a more production line, assembly line level, and not to really get into the essence of what makes a particular person manifest a certain physical illness. Dealing with the soul, Dr. Shah says, heal the soul and everything else will be healed, because the soul is at the core. And we incarnate into our physical bodies to go through certain lessons as a human. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, not the other way around. So if we work with our soul and then our thoughts and our emotions to be in alignment with our soul as opposed to the physical surface of life, then we'll be in alignment and attuned with what our soul's true intention is for this life. The flower essences aren't just for physical illness to be healed. They're also for bettering oneself in the process of growth and evolution. And Patricia and I were talking during the break, and she spoke to something really beautifully about how Dr. Bach wanted to go beyond. He was in the homeopaths, or he was a homeopathic, which is the original form of medicine in our country before the current model took over. And he was also very strong in immunology, did some of the founding work in immunology, but he wanted to go beyond that as a doctor. He wanted to get to true healing. And I know that the energy healing sessions that I do get to the person's soul, and I bring out from going through their chakra system and working within their entire system of all their invisible bodies, what seemed to be, this is what is needed from your soul. This is what you're in conflict with. And then those patterns can get addressed through the flower essences. And if the person has a physical illness, that's getting unraveled by addressing the soul. So, Patricia, can you speak to that aspect of the flower essences? This is the most challenging part for me to explain. Yes, they address soul level issues, but then they go up to certain mental predispositions or certain emotional reactivity, a certain type of emotional reactivity, and they help to gently unravel it over time.
Absolutely, Allison. You beautifully expressed Dr. Bach's own major treatise, which is called Heal Thyself. Again, though, if we remember the context, this wasn't, we didn't have the kinds of concepts we have now that are starting to emerge in healing. So he was really a pioneer in saying that if we don't include the soul as well as the body, and then we don't really have this fuller kind of healing. And so one of the main issues that we talk about is that healing is a process. We've actually identified four stages of healing. There's, so you can have an immediate impact with flower essences where you see that. And many people think, okay, that's the healing, because we're all very,
right.
We all are trained. You know, you take an aspirin and within 15 minutes your headache should go away. And there are immediate responses, particularly through some of the combination formulas, like what is called the rescue remedy or the five flower remedy. But then there are further levels, and this is where we actually have to work as therapists to help people see these levels, because we're blind to them in a way, or we don't look for them. And the next level, which will be sometimes automatic and sometimes needs a little bit of help, is what we call the cognitive level of being able to see. For instance, I was working with a mom, and she had a lot of problem with her kids. You know, like she would come home, everybody was under stress, everybody was yelling at each other. And she first noticed when she took the flower essences that, the first thing she noticed is how tight her solar plexus was. Like she was just in this place of tension. Mm-hmm. And so we were giving her remedies to help her relax more. And then as she took the remedies, she became aware of seeing this inner picture of her mom being this. She was her mom. Basically, she had never realized how much she was responding to her children in the same way that her mother had responded to her. And that was a great, big, huge insight. That might take a year of psychotherapy. Of talk therapy to get there. And it's not the same either as taking Prozac or where all you do is damp down all of those feelings and thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very different when you have a cognitive insight. And then from there, she just began to realize many things about how she reacted to her children and how she really wasn't in that moment her true self. She wasn't bringing the real gifts she wanted to bring in mothering. We used a number of remedies along that way. One of the primary ones was Mariposa lily, because many times moms become their own mothers, and so we're healing a kind of family pattern that's subconscious. And so we see in the last 100 years, and that's also the credit of psychotherapy such as Carl Jung, that there's a big subterranean element in our soul that needs to come to consciousness, needs to come to light. And that's really what the flower essences do.
That's the beauty of them. That's how they are able to go in at such a translational level, because they take what we experience on the physical level and go into the depths of us and help bring it up and out and round it out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you mentioned the fact that our modern medicine often doesn't deal, even on the physical level, with chronic illnesses. So for an example, I've seen many people who are very hypersensitive. And that hypersensitivity, when it's not channeled in the right direction and recognized and worked with, becomes very often allergic responses.
Really?
Yes.
You found that?
Yes. And
interesting.
I'm saying yes, but actually the remedy that we use is called YES, Yara Environmental Solution.
Yeah, yeah.
You might be familiar with that one. It's the most well-known around the world, because many people who start to open up and who are very sort of, as it were, porous, they want to take in more light, they're more receptive, but they also need a discriminating filter. They need to know this food doesn't work for me. This environment doesn't work for me. It doesn't, I need to rest in the evening or whatever. Each person is different in the way that they need to heal themselves. But what will happen, for instance, with a remedy like YES, is that we will become aware of our sensitivity and begin to nourish it and begin to regulate it and to make it a friend, an ally for ourselves, rather than something that works subterranean, in a subterranean way, and becomes allergies and other kinds of strange immune responses.
Yeah, that's actually a perfect example to bring up. I've worked heavily with the Yarrow Environmental Solution, as well as Yarrow, as well as Pink Yarrow. There's a lot, I would say about a third or half of my client base is looking at the fact that they are sensitives, or empathics, as it's sometimes called, and frequently they were labeled as oversensitive as kids, as they're opening up to that to be able to do so in a safe, gradual way. And what you're speaking to is this level of open porousness where, yes, we want to let in and be receptive and let in the light and maybe take on a meditation program where we're opening up or become a Reiki practitioner at any of the levels and where we open up to more light. And it's a condition on our planet right now where people are shifting out of mind-based or mind-dominant lives and shifting into being opened and awakened. And so I have found that the Yarrow Environmental Solution is particularly important right now. But on even another level, Patricia, is wild garlic and then wild sage or garlic and sage, because then there's people who have already opened up and then they end up with the kind of energetic vampires.
Yes, yeah, that as well can happen. You know, we're aware that we live physically in a world that has many different entities in it. I mean, the soil itself has millions of different organisms in it. But because of our blindness, as it were, on a more spiritual level, we're not aware. And yet we are subliminally aware. And so we do need a number of remedies, and that's one of the hallmarks of the further work beyond the original Bach remedies, is to really recognize how spiritually blind many people are and how they need help to learn to discriminate, to see, to regulate their psychic life, for example, to learn how to have protection. And I do want to also mention these remedies are so important for children and for animals. And we might think, well, how could they need these remedies? But actually, in many cases, they need them even more so. Let's take, for instance, a child that is what we call a container for the family system, one of these sensitive children that feels everything that the family is not articulating or that is dived down into more of a shadowy part of the family system. No one's talking about it.
Yeah.
That child who's sensitive is often the one who will exhibit certain illnesses because they're taking in all of that and they don't know how to deal with it. So the same with animals. Very often the animal gets sick who is around somebody who is struggling, for instance, with cancer or a long-term illness. The animal will start to take on certain aspects of that. So we have many, many animal healers as well as child therapists who work with these remedies very successfully.
Oh, that's brilliant. Okay, let's come on back and talk more about what we're just getting to now. Thank you. Back, we're going to get to speaking of the energies of 2012 right now and a suggestion of a few different remedies. That flower essence remedies that can address the particular energies right now. I know that in my practice as an energy healer over the last 15 years, one of the most common practices or issues that I've had clients come to me with is their inability to be grounded. Either they're carrying extra weight because they don't want to be in their bodies, or they're spacey, or they're labeled as ADD or ADHD, or they're easily distracted, or they're psychic and they haven't tapped into it yet, or they're oversensitives, as they could sometimes be labeled as children. I was myself. Actually, I was told not to be so sensitive, when in fact that's a skill and another sense. It's the psychic sense. So when people are so open, it's almost frightening. So they just kind of stay up in their heads and don't want to ground in their body. And so that leads to a lot of spacing out, maybe in daydreaming and maybe even fantasy thinking. There's a lot of different symptoms that I'm attempting to describe right now that actually come from just simply not grounding in one's body. It's very much the reason why I became a personal trainer and yoga teacher to round out my practice as an energy healer and a holistic life coach, because my energy healing sessions are different. I love to bring people in their bodies here on the earth and bring the joy down and bring the spiritual connection down. That's one of the main challenges, is helping people stay grounded. As Patricia and I were talking during break, we're a lot more psychic than we give ourselves credit for. And so also that's keeping us spun out a little bit in fear and in anxiety and in picking up on other people's thoughts and thinking that they're our own. I spoke to this a bit last week too. We'll be talking about it again next week when we get joined by Access Consciousness founder Gary Douglas. So another aspect of the times right now is also the idea that we can't trust the future. And Patricia brought up two different, new to me, flower essence remedies. I've used specific remedies for helping clients move into trusting more their intuition, trusting more the universe, and having more faith. But Patricia, why don't you come on and talk about the fearlessness remedy?
Yes. We have developed, well, there's actually 12 remedies, and they're called the Flourish Formula remedies. And these are baseline remedies because the needs are so great on our planet now. By the way, we work all over the planet. So I'm talking about, you know, the street kids in Brazil. I'm talking about people here in the United States. And so our work is very broad, and we recognize that we needed, in addition to Dr. Bach's original five-flower rescue remedy, and the YES, that we need to develop some formulas that are very well tuned and can move, as it were, a kind of quantum level for the collective. And so that's what these 12 remedies
Perfect.
Are doing. One of
Perfect.
Them is Fearless, Ellison. That's really the name of it, Fearless. And so because we have seen that fear is an overwhelming vibration on our earth right now, whether it's the fear, many people have suffered natural disasters, dislocation, we have these wars, we have increasing violence. Also, there are these apocalyptic pictures given of our times, that, you know, it's all going to be gone or done. It's really a time, though, of opportunity and transformation. And so that when we have fear, we don't move into our futures. We don't manifest the possible. We shrink back. And, of course, all of this is exacerbated by the economic conditions also on our planet as well. So fear is a huge underlying, as it were, quality that affects and infects everything that we do. So we find the fearless, and that can be taken orally, but we also find if you even just put it on the pulse points near the wrist.
Yeah.
It's so basic for being able to calm down and to move out of this collective psychic state of fear into one's own individual and authentic response. And it reminds me a lot, you know, of those people who work in, you know, for instance, drug addiction. And we say, take one day at a time. But that's really also true in the sense of dealing with anxiety and fear. That when we project so much about the future that we can no longer build from day to day and really say, I bless this day. Here I am. I give thanks for this day. I am alive this day. I have these opportunities. And I find that the fearless moves people into that kind of reality, that each day we take a step forward with our life, and each day we have an opportunity to be new, creative, and visionary.
What's in it?
It involves the red clover, a mountain pride, California valerian, Oregon grape, mimulus, rock rose, green rose, and it's just wonderful.
Yeah, it's hitting a lot of different essences that I know I use on individual basis as a whole remedy. It's fantastic. You just described so many of the symptoms that I end up seeing with people who come to me, like the first session, almost every single session is spent, that first session with almost every single person, I meant to say, excuse me, is spent comforting them. Like I was just last week from South Africa talking about the difference between the two people who I had worked with down in South Africa to my clients here in America. And it was a different type of fear. It was like a dread kind of fear, whereas here it's more like this manic kind of, I need to be made to feel safe, like just this racing that people don't feel safe, worried about the future, and just need to be able to feel it's okay. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, one thing that I will do with certain clients when they come in, I mentioned the pulse points of the wrist, but we like to apply the Fearless also right to the heart. And,
yeah.
And this is in addition to the oral doses, but, you know, yeah. I find that a lot of heart arrhythmia, a lot of tightness in the heart is really due to this underlying fear and anxiety.
Absolutely. And everybody's feeling it.
It's amazing. Even those, for instance, who work in the fields of acupuncture have noted that they can get actually quicker response to have the heart come back into rhythm and to have this kind of circulation of the heart, because it's the heart really is the first organ that closes down and becomes less than it could be when fear and anxiety invade the space. And I also wanted to mention, you were mentioning, and I want to embellish that, the grounding aspect. Of course, many, many remedies work with grounding, but we have a formula called Grounding Green that works exclusively with green flowers. Now, if you stop and think, you probably don't even recall seeing a green flower. Green flowers are very rare. The leaf of the flower is that which is green, but the Native Americans taught that when a flower remains green, when it goes into the flowering state and remains green, it is living in the heart of the mother, of Mother Nature. So these are very exquisite and rare flowers, and we've developed, I think there's about six of them. And we've combined them with also tree essences.
Oh, wow.
So there's silver fir, Sitka spruce, and cedar wood. And
oh,
those,
wow.
Those are just very delicate bits of the essential oil of these tree essences. And so what you get is a very rich, deep, green. I know you work with the chakras, and this would be the green forces that come from, as it were, the heart of nature, and again into the heart of the human being, but in a different way because it's green. And what we find with the green, grounding green, one of the ways we're literally not grounded is through our feet. We no longer walk barefoot. I mean, there is literally, and this is known by any electrical engineer, that you have to ground electrical systems. But we literally have all of this electric psychic energy, and people are opening up more and more to that, and they don't ground it. So this is actually a physiological as well as a psychological reality, that the feet and the hands need to come into alignment with
Patricia,
the earth as a grounding mechanism.
Let me just help out the audience members for a second. We've talked a little bit about this, the chi or the prana, or in English, the life force energy that is throughout our system circulating through the energy lines that are like highways that run the energy throughout our system that open up when we do yoga or when we get acupuncture or when we get energy healing. When we do Qigong, we're doing that to have the Qi or the Prana or the life force energy run throughout our system to open up blocks. Physical illnesses are known in the traditional Chinese medical system, for example, and in many other holistic systems to come from collective energy that's that goes and stays and sits and blocks one area, and then it becomes a physical malady. So we work with these longevity practices or preventative medicine practices like yoga and Qigong, to have the energy circulating throughout our system. When we say energy, we mean electric and magnetic. And so what Patricia's talking about is the electricity that happens from being human, and our biofield is electric and it is magnetic, or the chi is electric and it is magnetic. And if you were to take your two hands and hold them out in front of you right now and have them about 6 inches apart, palms facing each other, and you were to move them about a foot apart, and then bring them back in about 3 inches apart, and then bring them back out about 6 inches apart. Don't ever let the palms touch. You're going to start to feel the electricity right there. That's what mm-hmm. she's talking about.
And yet that force also needs to be run in a grounding alignment with the earth. For instance, the original Qigong was done outside on the grass.
Yep. Barefoot.
And so we have literally, living in these very dense urban environments, lost this ability to ground. And this is a huge part of hidden illnesses in our time. And also just the lack of human potential being able to come to its fullness, because we become drained if we don't
yep.
know how to utilize this energy correctly. We actually can become ill. And so the grounding green is a very important remedy, and it also then works not only then to literally ground, but to make us more aware of what it is that does ground us, the kinds of activities you were mentioning, you know, recognizing how it is that we live in our homes, what is it that we eat, where do we go to refresh ourselves, to seek solace, how do we reorient ourselves. And I find that as people take the grounding green, this kind of consciousness becomes more and more apparent, whereas ordinarily, in the ordinary urban person, it's incredibly dormant.
Yeah, indeed. The cement, the digital, the virtual reality, it just takes us totally out of the life force energy. That's all natural to us. Okay, so on that note, both my urban and non-urban dwellers, let's take another break, and we'll come on back for the last segment. Thanks. During the last break, I feel like a dog with my tongue hanging out of my mouth, kind of like breathing heavily, trying to fit as much in as usual with these hour-long radio shows. And she's really being diligent about getting to everything that we wanted to get to. So, Patricia, one of the things that I know that we talked about was how to distinguish essential oils from flower essences. That people, these are the least well-known little gems of vibrational medicine. Usually people know about crystals and essential oils. How are these different from essential oils? Because you were talking about putting them on the skin, and normally
yes.
people do. Yeah.
Well, actually, I do want to say that we've actually found essential oils and flower essences work very well together. So I they're separate, and I'm going to distinguish them, but I also want to just make the note that in our research, we actually use some essential oils with flower essences, not because they're the same, but because they're complementary.
Yeah.
So the essential oil is literally what is expressed out through usually steam distillation out of the plant. It's an essence in another way, but it's a more physical essence that comes and then is manifest as a particular essential oil that has an aroma, has a taste. So it's much more on the physical plane, but quite extraordinary and wonderful to use those. Now, the flower essences are infused in water. It's the only medicine that we know of that is made literally in its own environmental matrix. So every single flower essence has its own environment. We have to go and find where that plant flourishes, find the day in which the four elements are in complete harmony, and it's only then you set this living water out into nature and allow it to receive the imprint of the blossoming flower. But that particular, the flower essences do not have then an aroma, because they actually are capturing a higher vibratory state of the plant. Allison, there is some new research just coming out of Germany, though, where German scientists are showing that the water from each flower that's infused, they don't know anything about flower essences, but they've been infusing flowers in water and showing that the structure of water is incredibly different depending on which flower has been in it. So in a way, they're finding the same thing Dr. Bach found intuitively in the 1930s. So each one of these flower essences has a particular vibratory signature, a particular structure in the water that has been then infused from the way of making it. So the flower essences then work on these higher states of consciousness. That's why they can work there.
And so then, as you've described so brilliantly, when a person is ingesting the flower essence, gradually in their consciousness, what has been more dormant or latent underground, if you will, then comes more to the surface in their consciousness from the assistance of the flower essences bringing it into consciousness, conscious awareness.
Exactly. And that's the huge difference with flower essences, is that we get these changes in consciousness in a way that is very different from any other modality that I'm aware of.
I agree.
Other modalities will bring it forward eventually, but there's something about these particular signatures of flowers that is extraordinary.
I agree. I'd love to talk, Patricia, if you're in our remaining time, about how it is so different. I'm fascinated that there's a flower that can get to, like, issues with feeling abandoned by your mother, for example.
Yes. Well, that is the Mariposa lily. Let me just tell you a very quick story. I once worked with a woman who had been in psychotherapy all so many years, and when she came to see me, and she was suffering from a lot of allergies, a lot of sleep deprivation, insomnia, you know, she didn't have a relationship, et cetera, and when I told her about Mariposa lily, because she said, well, I'm not speaking to my mother. And yet when I took her inventory, and by the way, medical doctors see somebody for 10, maybe 15 or 20 minutes.
Right.
We see people, when I'm originally doing an intake with somebody, I spend an hour and a half with them.
Me too.
And even then, I use more meditative techniques to understand them. But I really saw that she was in great pain around her mother, and she said, nope, not going to do it. Don't want to go there again. I said, would you just take this remedy and just tell me anything coming up? One of the things that came up for her was a dream where she was in a submarine deep in the ocean. And she was trying to throw her mother overboard this submarine to get her mother out of the submarine. And she woke up in a cold sweat, because this was a vegetarian, you know, she was trying not to be violent, but she was depressed with incredible anger. And the beauty of flower essences, as I mentioned earlier, is that because she had this dream, she could see for herself the disconnect in her psyche. So she came back to me. That might take a year or more of talk therapy to get somebody to overcome a resistance. So that's how flower essences work. As I told you, I worked with young children. I remember working with a little girl who couldn't read and was diagnosed as dyslexic. She was 2 years behind in her grade level. But what I saw is that she was really scattered, because her parents had divorced, and she lived first with her father, then with her mother, then her mother moved. So she had literally lived in four different places in the course of about a year and a half. And she was so scattered, she didn't know what was secure, what was home. And she also was a very psychic, sensitive person. And so we gave her remedies to come into that place of, I'm okay, deep inside me. And also to help gather all of this scatteredness in her psyche, which clematis is one of the remedies that works well with that. And in 6 months, and this is all documented, she was actually superseding her grade level. She was beyond the grade level of reading, because once her soul and her body came into alignment and all this scattered energy could find a focus again, she actually was very intelligent and very capable of reading. So I learned also as a tutor how amazing these remedies are for getting underneath, not treating the symptom, but seeing what the suffering is of the individual. And that's the hallmark of flower essence therapy.
Absolutely, and then undoing it. I liked what you said about how it would take years through talk therapy to go through the human ego-mind resistance. That's one of the things I say in my marketing lead is less talk, more results. So it's almost like between, for me, the energy healings and then the flower essences, I'm going in through the back door where I'm not dealing with the person's conscious mind, where there might be mental resistance within the ego-mind, but instead I'm able to just get the results happening so that their conscious awareness begins to unravel the issue with the person already healing. And that's the beauty of the flower essences. I know that you guys have on your website, flowersociety.org, tons of research. And I know that as a practitioner with you all, you ask for us to do studies with you. There's a whole list of great articles on the website, flowersociety.org, for the research that's been done about the effectiveness of flower remedies. Go ahead and go there. You can contact me at healing-balance.com. And I want to thank you, Patricia, so much for being a part of my day today. I feel blessed because of it, and I'm sure the listeners do too, whether it's today or in the future. Thank
yes,
you for
and
your
let
passion.
Me just tell you, there's also a place if you just want to explore products. It's fesflowers.com.
Thank you. Okay. FESflowers.com. And then you can also work with me, too, and then I can hook you up with them as well if you're local. Okay? So all sorts of ways to get these little gems, flower essences, American Flower Essence Society. Patricia Kaminsky and Allison Kay signing off. Blessing.
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.allisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.